morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the NEWH Green Voice webinar this morning on responsible sourcing. We wanted to remind everybody there in the chat area that there's audio and video or login for your computer so that you can both see the presentation and hear the presentation. So if you haven't logged in on your computer, please follow the link in the invite that you received. I'm going to start out by thanking our sponsors, which of course we wouldn't be having this webinar if it weren't for them. JLF Lone Meadow, Global Lighting, Valley Forge Fabric, and Northwest Hospitality Carpet. All four of those sponsors are sustaining sponsors. They do an annual sponsorship to NEWH Green Voice for all of the events we put on throughout the year. You see over on the left side of your slide, we have some upcoming events that I want to point out to you. At the Lodging Green Conference at Ariane, Las Vegas, on October 28th and 30th, we will be presenting three breakout sessions specifically to the design community about sustainability, so you don't want to miss out on that. And then we have the NEWH Green Voice conversations going on at BDNY and IHMRS in New York, November 9th and 11th. We have a general session panel and then also half-hour conversations going on at the NEWH booth. So please join us for that as well. And then in January, we'll have our leadership conference, the NEWH Leadership Conference, which is a must-go-to. And that will be at the Fairmont Hotel in Dallas, Texas, and that's January 22nd through the 24th. And then we will be back, of course, at HD Expo in Las Vegas. This will be our fourth year in May of 2015. So please visit us and join us for all of those events for great sustainable educational content. I'm going to go ahead and also give you a little bit of rundown on the if you're getting CEUs today, you need to send an email to Nicole at NEWH, and her email address will be on the final slide at the end of the session. And you'll have to include your phone number in that email so that we can track that you were both on the call and on the computer for the full hour to receive your one credit, either AIA Learning Unit or 0.1 credit IDCEC, geez, that's a mouthful, CEU. So please make sure you turn those in and get credit for that. That's a great benefit. Whoops, I skipped forward. So I will introduce myself. I am the Vice President of Sustainable Hospitality for NEWH, and I will be moderating the panel today and giving you a little bit of an introduction at the very beginning. And then, more importantly, we have two amazing speakers today. We're so grateful to have them on the call with us. Dave Lippert, who's the Vice President of Procurement with Marriott International, ANC division. And Dave oversees the procurement and contracting services for all the FF&E and OS&E for the Marriott brands. And most importantly for this conversation, of course, he is also responsible for implementing Marriott's sustainable sourcing initiatives. So you're going to hear lots about what they're doing and some exciting stuff. And then we also have Sharon Flynn. Thank you very much for joining us, Sharon. She is the Director of Prototype Design for Wyndham Worldwide, and she leads all the prototype designs, documentation for Wyndham's brands, and is responsible for delivering their two lead certifiable prototypes, which are the Hawthorne Suites and the Wingate by Wyndham Brands. And she's going to be really discussing and focused in on materials and resources and LEED and kind of what Wyndham is doing as well from a sustainability perspective. So everybody will come away from this session with a really good understanding of what's going on in the market and how you can create value in responsible sourcing selections. We're going to be looking at building materials, finishes, and furnishings. And we'll be exploring how to gather, verify, and track information. You'll also learn a little bit about EPDs and HPDs and material safety data sheets. So lots of great information today. We'll go ahead and get started now. I like to give everybody a few minutes to get on so that they can hear all of the great content. So we're going to start with what is responsible sourcing? First of all, defining the topic that we're going to discuss today. For this conversation, we are using a very all-encompassing definition. That definition includes corporate social responsibility. So really, what are companies' policies and practices? How do they engage in their community? How do they promote positive social environmental change in both their location and globally? Really kind of those core functions within a company. And then environmental operations. So how do they operate their manufacturing facilities and their offices? What kind of greenhouse gas emissions and energy and water and waste are they producing? Of course, that directly affects product sustainability. And when we're talking about product sustainability, we're really looking at a total life cycle of products, so not just raw material or something like that, but really from the beginning of how its raw material is sourced all the way through the end of its life. So is the raw material a material that's hard to get and in need in other ways? Or is the end of the life, it can only be thrown away? Or does it have some sort of use? Can it be recycled or reclaimed in some way? So those are all of the topics covered under responsible sourcing. So it's a very broad definition. Materials and resources, particularly, we're going to talk a little bit about how to gather, verify, and report those, and you'll see some examples of that. And then I'm going to walk through right away to define and kind of create a baseline for everybody what a material safety data sheet is, what an environmental product declaration, and what a health product declaration is, and what the difference between those three are. And then really, Sharon is going to talk to you a little bit about how environmental information can be put into specifications and other documentation. Okay, so here is a material safety data sheet. On the right side, that's an example of a section of one. Material safety data sheets are most common, multiple pages. This one I clipped out of an existing material safety data sheet that I've worked with, and they're really intended to provide workers and emergency personnel procedures on how to deal with a product. So if it's a paint or a sealant and somebody's using it, do you need to wear gloves? Do you need to wear a respirator? What kind of actions around this material is required to make it safe to function? A health product declaration. Often people confuse a material safety data sheet and a health product declaration. They are, in fact, quite different from each other. An MSDS sheet is really, as I said, intended for worker and emergency personnel safety, and as well as during fabrication and installation. The information given on an MSDS sheet is really not comprehensive in disclosure of content, nor does it really fully address potential health hazards that may be associated to that product. There is the ability on an MSDS sheet to say a small percentage of the content in a product is not disclosed. so it's not giving you a full picture. So a health product declaration sheet is really intended to bridge that gap. Manufacturers incorporate this information, and they complete an HPD as a fundamental step in their entire production documentation requirements. So an HPD can be part of other declarations as well. But if you think of an HPD ultimately as really a full disclosure on what all of the content is in any particular product that you're looking at. So if it's going to tell you all of the chemicals associated, and you may find that there is a chemical of concern in that product that may not have been disclosed in a MSDS sheet. That's really the difference between the two of those. Now, an environmental product declaration is a much broader declaration. An EPD uses a life cycle assessment process and gives relevant information in accordance with the ISO 14025 standards. So I'll start with, what is a life cycle assessment? A life cycle assessment is really the whole stage of a product from cradle to cradle. You may have heard that term before. Really from the raw material extraction through material processing, manufacturing, distribution, its use, and then how it's repaired and maintained, and then its disposal and recycling. So really that full life cycle. The ISO 14025 establishes principles and specifications for procedures in developing declarations. So it's really kind of a roadmap for how to declare product information. So all of this has been developed because there's a lot of, I'm sure everybody on the call has experienced this, there's a lot of greenwashing and a lot of distrust in manufacturers' declarations and what they're saying is in their products. So all of these three frameworks can be used together to really get a full picture of what's going on with a product. So a health product declaration might be part of an environmental product declaration. The formatting and reporting for the content is very standardized. They have to use the same methodology. Health product declarations, of course, are not addressing energy efficiency or soil and water or waste issues. It's, again, only really addressing those content and materials that could be detrimental to you from a health perspective. So all of them are very complementary to each other. Many people ask if they're, in competition with each other. That's not really the case. They really all work together as a collective. So hopefully that clears up some of the confusion between an MSDS, which is really about the safety of using the product, whether it's in use or with emergency personnel. The health product declaration is really about declaring the full disclosure of every single content that might be in a material, and then the environmental product declaration is a full life cycle analysis of a product. So hopefully that clears all of that up. Now, what makes all of these important? What is the purpose? Why is all of this happening today is a really great question. There's a lot of push and drive and pressure from a number of constituencies to obtain this kind of information, and that's where we're going to really quickly now pass over to our speakers, and you really get to understand why this is important to the hotel brands. But just to give you a little bit of perspective on it, an average hotel buys more in a week than 100 consumers do in a year. So you can imagine the pressure and the power that the hotel industry has on the supply chain, which is all of the manufacturers and products that they purchase, all of those companies, the power that the hospitality industry has to shift and make change in those downstream suppliers. And 50 to 70% of the environmental impact of a hotel is coming from their supply chain. So we as consultants and interior designers and architects often focus a lot on the building and lead, and we will talk about that. But it's really good to keep in mind that that only covers a small percentage of the impact that a hotel has over its lifetime. All of the stuff and things that the hotel utilizes to operate impacts that building much more than the actual construction of that building. 75% of the greenhouse gas emissions that it is out of the supply chain. Of course, a lot of all of that stuff coming into the hotels is trucks driving to the facility, so that makes sense. And then the hospitality industry's global GDP impact is 10 times that of Walmart. Everybody thinks that Walmart is such a powerhouse, and you can see here from the slide, the hotel industry has a lot more power than they do. So if we could all work together and combine our efforts and really have a single voice out to the hospitality supply chain, we could really make a big impact. So hopefully that puts a good perspective for everybody so that we can launch into the meat of the conversation and really hearing from our panelists. So I'm going to switch over to Sharon and ask her a couple of questions about what's going on with Wyndham. Sharon, how important is sustainability in the design process for prototypes, and how does interior design impact sustainability?
Well, good morning, everyone. How are you? So to your question, Dina, it's extremely important, the design process itself for the prototypes, as we are not only developing new prototypes here at Wyndham, but also evaluating our existing prototypes and bringing them, refreshing them and bringing them up to speed. We are looking at sustainability in every step from both the from the exterior all the way in, and more importantly for the older prototypes that we're refreshing, the design of the interiors. So we on every one of those pieces of design, specification, et cetera, we are evaluating every piece of that to make sure that we've asked the sustainable question and how we can get build these prototypes and refresh these prototypes into a more sustainable and green design. So we're doing it constantly day to day now.
That's amazing. That's really great. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the Hawthorne Suite prototype here that everybody is seeing on the screen.
So the Hawthorne Suites by Wyndham, this is a prototype that we have. This is a new prototype that was just developed in the last year. What you're looking at is a complete design from ground up of both exterior and new interior designs. It is completely, we are calling it a LEED certifiable, and that is that it has been designed as a completely LEED certifiable building from ground up, so that if our owners / franchisees who choose to buy into the Hawthorne Suites brand actually will have a LEED certified building. And they can choose to follow the tools that we will give them to then go into the USGBC and request for, you know, certification, et cetera. So what you're looking at here is the exterior of the building to a public space on the bottom left and the guest room layouts. So the materials that are used from both the building on the exterior, the HVAC, the MEP, the lighting, down to the fabrics, et cetera, that they've all been evaluated for sustainable products.
That's so great. You know, I think one of the best lessons here is that sustainability can be beautiful, and it doesn't have to be high-end. It can also be in select service, so it's great. Here's your Wingate.
And this is our Wingate at Wyndham. We just completed this prototype, too, also now LEED certifiable for our potential owners and franchisees. Methodology and programming. It's a new exterior with a new interior redesign from ground up, pretty much the same menu of select materials, et cetera, for exterior and interior. So we tasked our designers. We had a team of designers that specifically on both of these prototypes that green, sustainable products, design, and that consciousness be at the forefront of every step of the way of the design and all of the specifications.
Great.
So, and this prototype was just completed about 4 months ago, and both of these prototypes, both Hawthorne Suites and Wingate by Wyndham, I'm proud to say, are actually, we have quite a few owners that are already getting ready to do shovel on the ground. So you'll be seeing these hopefully within the next year. You'll actually see these new prototypes as you drive through the United States. So it's exciting.
That is super exciting. I also wanted to point out, I see we have some questions coming in. I'm going to save those for the end, but we will cover those in the last few minutes of the call. So please keep them coming, and we will make sure we get them addressed. Okay. So another question for you, Sharon. Do you see sustainability growing in the next 3 to 5 years? And what are some of the future objectives that you guys have? I'd love to see what you're doing now, but kind of, you know, what do you see in the next few years?
Well, we're finding that, and I see that you say the screen that you have up right here now says 2 out of 3 guests expect sustainability. And what we're finding is that is absolutely true. And also not only the guests, but our owners and are also very interested in, you know, the product, the design, and the building, the asset that they are getting that's socially responsible and sustainable. So in the next 3 to 5 years, I mean, we're seeing it that, you know, we're getting more and more questions and challenges every day to make sure that we are, you know, building sustainability and being able to answer those questions for not only our guests but our owners now too. In the next 3 to 5 years, I can imagine that this would be not just a discussion but a standard, and that I think that our designers and architects, et cetera, are truly starting to step up to the plate to understand that also, that it's going to be not just an option, it's going to be the norm.
That's great. I love to hear that. Talking about your designers and architects, what is the value of the information that you're getting from them, and how do you see Wyndham utilizing that information in the future? Does this apply to LEED, all of this FF&E, or, you know, how are you dealing with it?
Well, very good question. Actually, let me step back a second. On our architectural specifications, which, also have a lot of and usually because of building materials probably have a lot more stringent requirements for sustainable and green building practices, et cetera. So we've actually set up with our project architectural manuals that as an architect and designer step into the design process for these new prototypes, that they have to follow an interactive program where they have to fill in the sustainable information for LEED so that you can't move on through the specification until that information is filled out. So it's interactive. It helps the architect not skip, or designer not skip a beat. And it also then provides us with the comfort that these questions have been answered and that we get a full spec that has all of the LEED and sustainable information already in it. With that being said, that's more on the building side of it. I should say construction, the asset itself. On the interiors, we're finding that we're asking for that information. We're still challenged by, and we sometimes have to go through it a couple times before we get everything that we need. Perfect slide, Dina. If you see the bottom here where you have the environmental product information, this is becoming so much more important on the FF&E and the OS&E level because before, you know, years before this, it was never really addressed, and then you'd have to backtrack later on through the process or maybe even at the end of a renovation or a new build and try and regather all this information, where now, you know, it's so important that we get it up front so that we understand what kind of products we're receiving and that we can also report that information to Wyndham worldwide and also then to our owners. It's extremely important. So, you know, we're requiring this from our designers now and from our OS&E suppliers, et cetera, that they give us this information up front.
That's amazing. I think that is a huge change and shift in the industry as a whole, that the brands and the ownership groups are starting to require this information out of their consulting teams. So that's great. I think that's a huge.
And Dina, I just want to also add that when we actually contract, we actually even have a questionnaire, a sustainable questionnaire, that we ask not only our suppliers, but also our professionals, architects, designers, structural engineers, to fill out so that we understand on their business side how they respond to sustainability and how responsible they are in their day-to-day professional work and in their businesses. So we've even taken it. Yeah, so we're kind of tracking everybody to make sure that they have the same passion as Wyndham Worldwide does for, you know, sustainability and responsibility for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So aligning your values with the suppliers that you're working with, that totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. All right. Well, Dave, not to leave you out of the conversation, now we're going to jump over, and I know although you handle procurement, you're going to cover a little bit of design here at the very beginning for us. And tell us a little bit about how Marriott showcased some responsible sourcing initiatives recently.
Well, good morning, Dina. It's great to be here with you today. So before I talk about how we showcased some of our responsible sourcing initiative, I'd like to just give a brief overview of what we've actually been doing in that space. So very briefly, my role is procurement for furniture, fixture, and equipment for all of the Marriott brands. And so from a procurement perspective, we have worked with MindClick Global to put in place a sustainability assessment and scorecard for our suppliers. And what this has done, it allows us to determine where our suppliers are on what we're calling the sustainability journey, and specifically as it relates to Marriott's strategy on sustainability, which focuses on reducing waste, water, energy, and carbon use. And also, it's closely aligned with our strategy related to corporate social responsibility. So our scorecard and assessment allow us to evaluate our suppliers, see where they are on the journey, and then make sure that they're making continuous improvement on that journey. It also allows us to provide a roadmap to our suppliers on where they can focus their efforts. If they're already playing a leadership role with sustainability, they can continue to do better. The bar continues to raise in this area. And if they're at the beginning of that journey and, frankly, not doing that much, we continue to work with them and push them to move forward. And the assessment and scorecard that we are utilizing gives them an idea of where they need to focus their efforts going forward. The other thing this allows us to do is really to identify areas for us to focus across our supply chain and really look at best practices. So as we have suppliers that are doing great things related to packaging or recyclable content, we're able to share that across our supply chain, really look at best practices, and really elevate our whole supplier base. So that gives you just a flavor of what we're actually doing. So then with your question about how we showcase this, we participated in a really a pretty interesting industry event last year, which was the HI Connect, and it was held down in Nashville, Tennessee. And our procurement team worked very closely with our internal Marriott Interior Design team and a number of our suppliers that had gone through our MindClick sustainability assessment process. And the slide that you're seeing now gives you a flavor as you're walking through this very large industry event, and we had vendors, designers, ownership groups, brand companies there. As you came to our vignette, which was a beautiful Marriott guest room, this slide was on a screen. So it basically, from the very beginning, as you walked into our vignette, you could see some of our key suppliers and some of the great sustainability features that are being demonstrated in our guest room. And as you look at this slide, you can see things like recycled wood and components, locally sourced items, recyclable items that can be recycled at their end of use, recycled content, packaging, both recycled and recyclable. So you can get an idea of a number of the things that we're tracking. And again, this comes through our assessment process. And you can see it's a pretty comprehensive with a number of products. So we showcased this on a live screen and it welcomed our guests into our vignette. And then this you can see was a really part of a custom design by our interior design group of the new Marriott Modern Guest Room. So we showcased this interpretation of that new guest room. And as you can see, it won the People's Choice Award for the best guest room at this event. So we thought it was a great, not only a great design, but it was linked very closely with our suppliers and the sustainability features that they brought to the room. And it was great to win the award. So I think, you know, part of our philosophy is to really assess the nuts and bolts and really, you know, as you saw in some of Sharon's information, that real detailed information, where are the items sourced from, what are the raw materials. But at the end of the day, it does need to be a beautiful product and a beautiful design. And I think this was an indication, an example of where we were really able to mesh those two together in a very positive way. One other thing that we do with our regularly is working with our interior design group that we have here in our international headquarters. We meet regularly with them so that they're aware of our sustainability efforts, and we share the information as we bring suppliers in through the scorecard. We track that and make sure that they're engaged with us on this journey so that really the supply chain and interior design is working very closely together to achieve Marriott's goal to green our supply chain. And again, to have aesthetically pleasing designs and products and have that integrated with the sustainability.
That is, it's really comprehensive program, Dave. That's amazing. And I had the opportunity to actually be at HI Connect this year and see your presentation and the sustainability information, and the booth was absolutely beautiful. The design was gorgeous. And again, similar to Sharon, proves that sustainability can be beautiful and can be economic as well.
Yes.
So let's move into your Pure Ballywig and talk a little bit about procurement. How are you using this information in your decision making? What is it that your department is doing with some of this?
Yeah, so one of the first things that we've done is as we worked with MindClick and developed this scorecard and assessment process, we obviously had a number of our vendors that came on board and were founding members to help us develop this tool. And one of the things we did is we set in 2013, as we moved into 2013, we set what we felt was a very aggressive goal to have 75% of our spend for FF&E go through MindClick scorecard assessed suppliers. And we really thought, again, 75% in our first full year was a pretty aggressive goal. But very pleased to report that in that first year, we did achieve that 75% goal of rated suppliers with our spend. And we are in a growth mode with both new build and renovations, but we will annually procure somewhere between $250 and $300 million worth of FF&E and related services and logistics. And so it's a pretty big spend number here at Marriott. And again, to get 75% of that in our first full year, we were very pleased. Our goal really going into 2014 this year and into 2015 is to move that number, that 75%, up to the 90%. We think because we always have new vendors and new products, it'll be hard to always be at 100%, but we're really looking to basically have all of our major suppliers go through this and be on the journey with us. I will mention that, I'm sorry if you can go back a slide.
Yeah, sure.
The second thing that we're really trying to do with the information is this is just an example that as we're getting this information on our scorecard, we're really trying to look at ways, and this is just one example where from a procurement perspective, when we're out and we're looking at different suppliers to provide, as you can see here, lounge chairs and storage units, historically the procurement role has been to look at price, maybe look at lead times and really the dollars and how quickly can we get it there. That's kind of the old hat of procurement. And really what you can see in this spreadsheet is that we're now able, again, with our scorecard and our assessment and working with our suppliers, to start looking at the bigger picture and look at things like are they part of our MindClick scorecard assessment process? Do they have sustainable raw materials? You can see some of the items here locally sourced, but really starting to capture that. And so that as we work with our owners and our customers, owners and franchisees of the hotels who are actually building and renovating these hotels, as their procurement team, we can provide them with this type of information and help them and their designers and project teams make very informed decisions. So this is something that, you know, it's evolving, but this was a good example of something that that we've worked to kind of leverage our scorecard process and our bidding process to really have it become part of the project and integrated, and so that we are making and helping our owners and customers make really informed decisions, not only on cost, but on sustainability.
This is amazing information, and really shows here that price is not necessarily aligned with more sustainable, as I'm seeing on the sheet. So that's very cool.
Yeah.
I know Marriott, I think I saw in the annual report this year, you're actually talking about this initiative.
Yes. Yeah, we are very proud of the progress we've made with our FF&E supply chain. And I mentioned earlier the 75% goal and really going to more of a full requirement to the 90% plus. And then, as you see on the slide here, one of my counterparts in our global procurement group, Brad Colton, we work very closely. He helped us as we were developing our MindClick scorecard process, working with a multifaceted team here. We included not only our global procurement team, but our corporate social responsibility team and our sustainability vice president and our lead volume build program architectural team. So that we all reviewed every question, helped really make sure that the scorecard and assessment tool that we were creating with MindClick was going to be very tied into the Marriott strategy. And so what you really see here is the 90% goal we have for our FF&E, and then Brad's really mentioning here that we're in the process of working with our global procurement team to expand because of what we've seen in the FF&E world We think we can also use this in broader areas where we also are spending money and owners are spending money. So this is a big thing. Arnaud, our CEO, actually mentioned our MindClick scorecard and his message to our annual report to shareholders. So this is really from the top of our company down through our procurement teams and our organizations is something that we really want to integrate within our whole team.
Wow, that's amazing. It was this initiative was in the shareholder.
Yes, yep. It was a lot of pride on our team that's worked on this pretty hard over the last couple of years. So.
I bet. Well, so you're using this information for a lot of value inside of your department and obviously moving over into global supply chain initiatives as well. How is this information or this performance information being used in guest marketing? Are you doing any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so one of the things we're trying to do as a procurement organization is really is drive sustainability into the procurement supply chain. And then that really makes everyone that's upstream from us, hopefully we're providing opportunities, like I mentioned, whether it's our owners or our designers or our franchisees who are building and renovating and designing, you know, it's giving them products and suppliers that are driving sustainability. But it also is allowing our brand and our marketing teams to get information that we can also use in our marketing. You know, as you mentioned earlier with Sharon, the customers really have an expectation and interest in sustainability. And I was actually at some senior leadership meetings a couple weeks ago where we had panels of millennials that came in and we talked about some of our goals and strategies and got their direct feedback. And, you know, sustainability is something that's going to become increasingly important as our millennial generation ages, and it's something that's just going to become more and more important. So one of the things we did here, and you can kind of see a slide, is that as we have worked through our scorecard assessment process, we identified an ownership group that had a hotel here. It was the Courtyard Rancho Bernardo, but a Rest Better pilot was put together. And again, the great thing was that the vendors and products that we had put together through our scorecard process that had a lot of sustainability features were basically implemented in a renovation. And you can see on this next slide here, you know, this seating was utilized in this renovation. And because it had gone through our scorecard process, we already knew that it was a sustainable product, a sustainable supplier. And that was implemented in this hotel lobby that you can see. And so really the guest marketing question part of this is that the pilot that was done there, what it did is it helped to tell the story to the customer. So as guests came through the hotel, there was different QR code type things that they could click on. There were different questionnaires and interviews that they could participate in. And the feedback, you know, it's really telling the story that, you know, when a person walks into a hotel, you might kind of know that, hey, I can, you know, hang my towels up and not have those laundered and maybe make a contribution. But there's a lot of stuff, again, as you saw with Sharon and then what Marriott's doing, is that we're, you know, really the products that are being built and are in these hotels for 5, 10, 15 years, they're going to be there for a long time. They're going to be, the guests are going to be interacting with these products. And so if we can have, you know, recycled content and local source product, low VOC type things, you know, the packaging be used to send them there, be recyclable, and be made of recycled content, all those things, you know, kind of telling that story to the guests is something that this pilot project did. And I think if you jump to the next slide, you know, and I guess, sorry to jump ahead, but kind of the next question really gets into, is there an ROI for this? You know, if you look here, this is pretty powerful from us as a management company to have guests say that based on what they've seen related to our sustainable purchasing and the Rest Better pilot that was done here, there was a large increase from 45 to 73% of their intent to return, which is huge in the hotel hospitality industry, and really to refer family and friends, also a nice big increase. So the feedback was that, hey, yeah, tell us the story and let us know what you're doing. And so this pilot was done. It was just one. We're looking at what we can do on a broader scale. But it's also, as I mentioned, the opportunity here is that we're building this into the products that we're buying. This didn't cost more money for this hotel to be renovated this way. It took our products and our suppliers that we've been able to put through our scorecard process, and it's really reaping the benefits and telling that story to our customers. So we do think, you know, our goal is that, really if vendors and suppliers are making good sustainability decisions, I mean, if you're reducing your waste, water, energy, and carbon footprint, it's likely that you're reducing your energy bill and your water bill and your waste management bill. So it makes good business sense. And, you know, we know that people don't want to pay more for sustainable products, and I think by integrating it into our system, we're being successful there and not increasing costs, but also having more of a life cycle attitude so that if you can save money over time and reduce your energy costs. And so we think that's really tightly wound now with our procurement and our supply chain and bringing that all the way through to our guests, as we saw in these examples here at the end.
Yeah, that's amazing, connecting those dots from, I mean, I think for a lot of consultants that's hard to connect what they do and what they specify all the way through to the sustainability attributes of it anyway, to the guest, and that the guest is going to care about that and how they might actually get that information, because it's so rare that the guest gets to see the really carefully thought-out decisions that the design and procurement team have done and made to get something that's, you know, sourced within 100 miles of the site. That's really exciting, Dave.
Yeah, very exciting.
Very cool. Well, thank you guys both. I know I peppered you with questions, and you did an amazing job at fielding them. So I've got a few more. We've had some questions come in during while you were talking. Joe Kane asked, does Wyndham have a plan for disposal of interior fixtures when you upgrade? Do they ask the manufacturer to take them back? I actually had a really interesting conversation at a conference with a lighting supplier about that. I think lighting suppliers can get together and create a program for that. But what, have you had any questions about that, Sharon, or any experience with it, with lighting?
Not specifically with just lighting. However, on our renovations and or refreshes that we are fielding through here, and we review through Wyndham directly, Wyndham Worldwide, and our design group here, and our project management group, we are putting together, I would want to say, more of a suggestions on how to do that, whether it's recycling of existing carpet, light fixtures, other types of materials that would be removed during a renovation. So we are just starting to get into that, where we can help our owners and franchisees do that responsibly, but we don't have a formal program set yet. But we, you know, definitely would like to, you know, see the programs that come in from, like you said, the lighting manufacturers, et cetera, that point us and then ultimately our owners in the right direction on how to do that.
Yeah, it seems like a good place for the manufacturers to work together and create a collective program to do that, because lighting is certainly complicated because it has so many different raw materials, so it'd have to be all disassembled and things like that. So that's really cool, and so it's definitely on the horizon and something that Wyndham's interested in. How about you guys, Dave? Are you aware of?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting. We've really taken the approach with some of our, I'll say some of the larger items like mattresses and carpet, where some of our suppliers we've really been able to work with them on some great take-back programs for end of life for mattresses and for carpet, and you know, really looking at the impact those would have on a landfill. So those areas we've definitely made progress and have programs in place. Lighting is definitely an area that's a little bit more difficult, but is also something that we're working on. As we brought our suppliers into the scorecard process, we made sure we brought them in all of our major categories, and very pleased that we've got five or six of our lighting manufacturers that are part of our scorecard process, and we're working to kind of identify the priorities, as I mentioned earlier, on best practices not only across all of our FF&E, but we're able then to slice the information and the data by commodity, and lighting is one that we're very interested in, and again with great participation from our lighting suppliers, we're expecting to make a big impact there.
That's great. So I have another question from Morgan. What do you take into account when designing a bathroom, specifically showers and faucet fixtures? So I'm assuming water conservation is the question here. Sharon, do you want to take that one first?
Sure. I'm sorry. Didn't realize I had gone back to mute. as far as the bathroom designs and you said the fixtures themselves, all our standard the designs have all been standardized to stay within water conservation, parameters for shower heads, for faucets, for low flow toilets. So we our bathroom designs immediately incorporate that those kinds of responsible pieces of equipment, from the faucets all the way through. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, anything you want to cover here?
Very similar as far as some of the technical guidelines on water usage and things like that. And I just the only thing I'm aware of right now is that we are looking across our different brands at some different features and stuff that might, for our Ritz-Carlton brands and things like that, there might be some more decorative and additional touches to that versus some of our select service brands, but very consistent, and obviously some of the big manufacturers there are very progressive as far as looking to achieve water usage and things like that. So I think because that industry as a whole has really been moving forward there, it's been fairly easy for us to kind of take advantage of what they've been doing for all of their products and really help drive that into our hotels.
Great, awesome.
Yeah, and I just want to add to what David's saying, too, is that they have gotten to the point where, just the design itself, it's not just the basic choice anymore, that your choices of design, et cetera, they've done a wonderful job across the board from, as Dave said, from select service all the way up to upper upscale and luxury. So they've made it very easy to be responsible.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Another question for you, Dave, on from Joe. Essence of it is what is Marriott using to measure your wastewater and energy? Primarily related, it sounds like, to your reporting as a company. I'm not sure you know the answer to this question, but in case you do, are you using GRI reporting?
Yeah, we're presently, our sustainability report, if you go to our website, is out there available for everyone to look at electronically, a really neat and new format this year. But, yeah, it's GRI reporting, probably anything more detailed than that, I would have to refer you to the website.
I totally get it.
I know that our procurement scorecard process is in three or four spots in that reporting. If you're interested in seeing more about that, it's kind of an interactive sustainability report.
Okay. And then Joe also asked, how did Marriott choose MindClick over other sustainability?
Yeah, so we looked at some of the other options that were out there that Walmart and some other entities have put together. And really, what we're using now is multi-attribute, so it's not just the air or VOCs or raw materials or packaging. It is multi-attribute on wastewater, energy, and carbon, and its product, its manufacturing, its corporate social responsibility. So we did not see anything that was as comprehensive and multi-attribute as what we've been able to develop. And if you look at our website, Marriott has a spirit to preserve sustainability culture. And our assessment scorecard that basically as a founding member, we were able to help work with MindClick and our suppliers to create the tool that we're using. And because it was multi-attribute and very comprehensive, it does require our suppliers to spend some time and effort providing information and supporting detail as they go through the process. And that's something that We certainly appreciate our suppliers who are going through that process. But the good news is you get a roadmap out of that and know where you can really focus your efforts to be more effective here. But for us, it was the one tool that really gave us everything we wanted. And then by having the corporate social responsibility, which covers things like human rights and child labor, again, extremely important to the hospitality industry and to Marriott, and we get that type of information and data by going through the scorecard process that allows us to monitor and measure how well we're doing in those areas. So for us, it was really, again, a comprehensive tool, and we were able to put our imprint on it make sure that the scoring and the methodology and the importance of the areas were consistent with Marriott's sustainability spirit to preserve.
That's great. I think related, and for both of you, how does Made in America factor into kind of the sustainability picture?
Well, I'll go first just briefly, but obviously, as you know, we are working and have been over a number of years in an international supply chain, and as that supply chain is evolving in Asia and other places, you know, I think we're all excited to see increased manufacturing taking place back here, and I know that we've brought in a couple domestic case good manufacturers just in the last couple of years and actually have them in our program and have them as part of our scorecard process. So we're pleased to see that kind of moving back in that direction and saving, you know, reducing the amount of transit costs and energy used to move things around. So, you know, I think we're very pleased to see that trend. And obviously things like mattresses and upholstery seating and things like that have really always been kind of made in America, and certainly our nylon carpets and things have historically been made here. So, you know, I think it's a good trend, but we'll always be an international supply chain, and it's something that we'll continue to monitor.
Great. Sharon?
I think I agree with Dave. He said it all, and he said it very eloquently. I mean, we obviously have the same challenges as far as, you know, having an international supply chain, but we are seeing more made in the USA products that are of commercial grade that are appropriate for hospitality, so that's good to see. We do pay attention to them. You know, we do see how we can integrate them into not only the new prototypes, but also, you know, for renovation, design, et cetera. So it's good to see. Unfortunately, you know, I don't think it will ever be at 100%. It's just not. It's, you know, like as David said, we'll always be an international, you know, supply chain.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and people, you know, we do want to focus on Made in America here in America, certainly. But as a global company, you really focus on local sourcing, right? So if you have a project in China, you want to source in China as much as possible. If it's in Europe, then, you know, so Made in America, you know, is very important here, but definitely local sourcing may be a better terminology for what you're talking about as a global company, I would think. One last question, because we have 2 minutes left. Emma is a young person in the hospitality industry, and she's asking you guys how she can, at an entry-level management position, really influence and impact sustainability into the organization she's working in. What would be your recommendation, having been in the industry so long?
Yeah, I'll just jump in with a quick response, since I know we're short on time. But besides recommending that you look at Marriott's website, because, you know, a company of our size really has the resources to really put a great sustainability program together. But one of the things that we've used in our headquarters building here, and a lot of our millennial-aged workers are volunteers for, but we have a Green Champion program that we've put in place. So, you know, you try and build a corporate kind of structure and strategy, and hopefully some of that's in place. But our Green Champions are people that we meet with on a monthly basis and really kind of talk about current events, things that they're learning, things that we're trying to do as a company, and we have them called Green Champions. And outside their offices or cubes, they have a little Green Champion sign, and people know to kind of talk to them about these types of things. And it really brings a lot of energy to the rest of our team to kind of have these Green Champions of all ages. But, again, our millennials have been very interested in it. And it's brought really kind of a level of excitement here to really allow them to be making an impact on something that our company's been focused on for a number of years. And so that's just one thought I had when I saw your question there.
That's great. Sharon?
And I was also going to add, just, you know, from what you're learning and hearing, not only on these webinars, but just with your interaction with other sustainable professionals, is to take that education and pass it on. So I still find that it's amazing how many people don't understand, you know, the effect of the good effects that sustainable thoughts and implementation can do for not just, you know, on you know, for everyone. You know, I think a lot of people just don't understand that they touch this kind of discussion every day, every moment, and not just in hospitality, but in, you know, just our everyday environments. And I think the more people understand that and how important it is for our lifestyle, et cetera, that they'll just become more involved too.
That's great. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, I want to thank both of you so much for taking the time out to talk to our audience today. I know it was very valuable to everyone, and you brought a great amount of insight. I want to remind everybody there'll be an email going out to all participants. If you're looking for CEU credits today, please respond within 3 days with your phone number, and Nicole will get back with you and get you the information that you need. And, of course, I want to thank our sponsors, JLF Lone Meadow, Global Lighting, Northwest Carpets, and Valley Forge Fabrics. And thank everybody who called in today and participated in this educational content about sustainability. Everybody have a wonderful day. And, again, Sharon and Dave, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Thank you, Dina. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everybody.